I am encouraged to know that after our presentations that we will allow for some questions as well. Is that right, Dr. Moore? And so I would ask this, as you ask any questions, if it's especially if it's about Islam or something that I don't know what I'm doing, I will punt to Dr. Moeller immediately. You'll understand why in just a few minutes. I find myself this afternoon in the unenviable position of standing on this platform for two reasons. The first reason, obviously, is that I have to find myself disagreeing with Dr. Kraft, who is, in my mind, one of the greatest and most prolific writers that we have in the modern debate, modern cultural debates. Back to Virtues, where he debates with medieval virtue and vice. The unaborted Socrates, Between Heaven and Hell, his constant writing, his prolific pen, continues to bring out some of the most provocative questions that I think Christianity, Catholicism, evangelicalism, anybody who holds any kind of theism whatsoever, have to bring to culture. However, his book entitled Ecumenical Jihad, which first came out in 1996, and they are preparing to reissue post-9/11, I not only disagree with, but I vigorously and stridently protest not only his central premise, but his entire thesis. I'll get to that in a minute. The second reason I'm in the unenviable position I'm on this platform is because Dr. Moeller is standing right beside me and listening to me. He is and always will remain one of my personal heroes, and quite frankly, the most intelligent person on the planet, in my estimation. He doesn't believe so, but if you ever receive an email from him, it's at 3 a.m. in the morning, where I believe God is not even awake, but he is up and writing. I have attempted for the last 4 years as a full-time professor to emulate Dr. Moeller's practice of reading a new book every week and every day. He goes through a new book every day, 7 books a week, and I've come close. But the books that I read involve crayons and markers, and I quite frankly would much prefer if Dr. Moeller had a pair of headphones on right now where he could be listening to Vivaldi and reading through one of his books, and then after I'm done, you take the headphones off and somebody here, you tell him, oh, he did fine, you know, because this is intimidating to say the least. However, with this thesis, and especially in the genre of world apologetics and the confrontation of Christianity with culture, I do not believe in any of Niebuhr's categories as far as Christ of, Christ in. I believe in Christianity provoking culture. Christianity confronting culture. I believe there are some moments we need to be not only dogmatic, but if I may quote, bulldogmatic. When I come to the national media, when I come into this national debate and this discourse, I come across as strident and provocative, sometimes odd in a genre where everybody's trying to hug one another and find common ground. Good. That's what I want to do. For the precise purpose that especially in this debate, I am decidedly old school, especially in this issue, we have to not only be clear, we must be crystal clear as to the God that we're proclaiming, the God about whom we speak, the God that we worship, and the God who has redeemed our souls. The idea of Karl Rahner's anonymous Christianity extending to the Islamic community is, to me, an insult to the tens of thousands of Muslims who come to Jesus Christ and are slaughtered for that very decision. But I will come back to that in a minute. I may have been a professor for 4 years, have had my doctorate for 3 years. I am certainly not qualified to be on the platform by those criteria. But I was a Muslim for 20 years. My father was an ulema, a scholar, a hadithic scholar more specifically. He was also a muazzin, the one who does the call to prayer in the mosque. And so I was the equivalent, the Islamic equivalent of a PK. We were in the mosque when the doors were open. Certainly a Jumu'at prayer on Fridays, which I find ironic that we are here at the exact moment of Jumu'at prayer, when all Muslims gather in the mosques. But it was my saturation. It was my life. Everywhere I lived before I came to America, we were in the majority. I come to America, and I have to explain to you, from the Islamic mindset, it is tough moving to your culture. Because we go from being the majority to all of a sudden becoming the minority, and you guys have some annoying commercials and annoying practices. Every time I turned on the television, there was another Christmas commercial, another thing. I constantly wondered under this this aegis of Christian communication. What did a rabbit have to do with Easter? And what did trees have to do with Christmas? And why are they constantly worrying that Christmas is going to disappear? And who is this Santa Claus? And why does he have the voice of Bing Crosby? And why is there all this advertising materialism? And I will come back to the materialism because it is one of the questions that Dr. Craig addresses. The central premise of ecumenical jihad is well-intentioned. I absolutely believe, and if he were here, I would tell him, that I believe that Dr. Kraft has the greatest of intentions, but it is fatally flawed. My specific remarks will have to do with why Islam could never, did I say never? I mean never, unite with Christianity or Judaism in an ecumenical jihad against humanism itself. To say that our three monotheistic religions worship the same God as sons of Abraham, that we can unite on a common cause of the said God against the threat of humanism, in my mind, ignores the central tenets of each system and insults the adherents to each system. And like I said, for my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are at this hour in bondage and bleeding in cells and beaten with bullwhips into submission and forced to recant, who are shedding their blood, buried up to their waists, and being stoned to death for the sole indictment, for the only capital offense of being a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, and God, I think it is a little bit of an insult. You are insulting my people to say, can't we all just get along? I would love to put down the stones. Let us convert to Jesus Christ without the threat of death. But you see, it is prescribed in Islam, to which I will return in a minute. This diminishing of absolute core beliefs, an insult, I see this desire as a tremendous want, but it is a desire for us to equate all belief systems as to being religious. I am not interested in being religious. As a matter of fact, on this issue, and perhaps on this issue alone, I would line up with Karl Barth against Emil Brunner. I believe Christianity is not a religion. It is the destruction of religion. If religion is man seeking God and Christianity is God revealing himself solely and exclusively to man, then it is the inversion of religion. I am not singularly interested at all in being a religious person. By religious, the world defines this as you wearing white socks, zip-up boots, long sideburns, clip-on ties, acting in a certain way to get God's favor. I'm standing up in front of you looking like a fat, stone-cold Steve Austin. I don't look religious. The fact that you know that, you just bothered your president a lot. I love you so much. I am not interested in pursuing God. I am interested in God's pursuit of man. And this is the fundamental distinction between the two. I am not religious. I am redeemed. And so I focus my quotations on these issues. When I refer to the Quran as I have it in front of me, I will use the term surah, which means chapter, or ayat, which means verse. If I refer to the hadith, I am referring to the books by Muhammad, about Muhammad, an example of Muhammad. Al-Bukhari's hadith is 9-volume thick. Any country on the planet that calls itself an Islamic republic operates by the protocols found in the hadith. And so that said, let me give you three reasons why Islam cannot unite with Christianity. Number one, Dr. Kraft makes the statement and makes the intimation that Islam is a sister monotheistic religion. Wrong. On both counts. Both monotheistic and sister religion. It is the assumption that Allah equals Jehovah. It is the assumption that they are sons of Ibrahim, Abraham, and that we are all united in a belief in Tawheed. But in Islam, Tawheed means absolutely one. Surah 112 of the Quran is only 4 verses long. It is considered the highest surah that you can recite. It is considered 10 times better than any other chapter of the Quran you can recite. And it is explicitly clear in the recitation of the Shahada, in the recitation of the belief creed, they say this: Allah is neither begotten nor does he beget. I will return to this in a moment because it goes back to the issue of it being the same. But I would submit to you that the desire to make Allah and Jehovah the same God fundamentally ignores both. Jehovah, Adonai, El Gabor, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune. As I said yesterday, I have never, ever, in 41 debates, ever heard one Muslim ever make this statement. As a matter of fact, in a debate at the University of North Texas, I was getting hammered. I was getting beat up like a husband at a Beth Moore conference or something, because they question after question after question coming at me And the media was hammering me with this about coming back to this group hug kind of thing. And finally, I turned to the imam who was with me, the imam, and I said, Abi, may I ask you a question? And he said, yes, of course. And I said, do you believe Allah and Jehovah are the same God? And he said, no, of course not. This is ridiculous. Which is good. Because now they hated both of us equally. If you read the Quran and read the 99 names of terror and glory, which are the names of Allah in the Quran, not one of them fundamentally even resembles the God of the Bible. Not one. Allah is transcendent. He is creator. He is judge. He has nothing to do. He's not removed from mankind, but He is greater than. And thus, He has no desire to unite with man, to indwell man, to be intimate with man, or certainly not to redeem man. You are left to your own devices in this. But then you come to the Bible and we read that, know ye not that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? God indwells you. That you have the ear. Do you understand that when we in Islam pray, when we face Mecca five times a day, and we begin, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and do all our prayer time, do you do realize that we are not actually bringing any offering of prayer to Allah, don't you? Do you know what we are doing? We are reciting the first surah of the Quran, the first six verses of the Quran, over and over and over. Why? Why would Allah ever listen to you? Allah is judge. He does not need your advice. But when I came to Christianity, I found out that the Father inclines His ear to His children, that I come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy in a time of need. Be anxious is nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. This was completely foreign to me. That God not only hears, but He listens to the prayers of His children. It's not the same God, guys. And as a matter of fact, anytime we come to a moment of this debate where they say it is, I will say, great! So Allah is triune. Well, no, of course not. This is wrong. The Quran is explicit. Do not say Trinity. Deceased from saying this. Ah, then we're not talking about the same God. Well, Allah is intimate and personal. Tell me about your personal relationship with Allah. There is no such thing. Then we are not talking about the same God. Jesus Christ is either Lord or this is a waste of time and we have wasted millions of dollars building this seminary. Because if He's not God, this is of all things most silly and pitiable. If He's not God, we do not have Christianity. And Islam will never unite on this purpose. We'll never unite on this. Secondly, Islam is not a system that is parallel to or concurrent with Christianity. I would submit to you that Islam is the exact inversion of, the contradistinction of Christianity. Muhammad began to receive his revelations in 610. At the age of 40, he was born in 570, around the age of 40, he turns to his wife, 15 years older, Khadija, and at the very beginning of the Hadith, volume 1, verse 1, he says, I don't know what I'm receiving. Something is wrong with me. And she writes, Khadija writes, that he rolls on the floor and roars like a camel and foams at the mouth, and what we would equate as a grand mal seizure. And when he comes out of these seizures, he thinks himself that what he was receiving was perhaps demonic. And Khadija convinces him that it is divine, that he is receiving a new revelation. Ladies and gentlemen, every piece of the revelation that he received, quote unquote, is in fact an inversion of Christianity. It is the anti-Christianity. One way to remember Islam is that it's a type of medieval Mormonism. Say that Jesus' work was incomplete. Give us a new prophet. Allow for polygamy of men. Make heaven sexual, make salvation completely works-based, add a new book to ensure the fact that you will believe that Jesus is just a prophet, and that the following prophet was greater than, if not equal to, Jesus himself, Joseph Smith or Muhammad. It is the inversion of Christianity, not simply a tangent thereof. And thus, to say that Islam and Christianity go hand in hand is to violate, for those of us who love logic, the law of non-contradiction, the law of the excluded middle. It's like saying, well, Christians and Satanists, we all worship the same God. Huh? Are you insane? Well, I mean, you all believe in one God. Yeah. And they repeat the tetragrammaton, do they not? No, they read it backwards, right? Yod, hey, vav, hey. Well, if they're going to do it backwards, isn't it the same word? This is the exact same thing we deal with our culture. Our culture, and with my apologies, Dr. Craft, have a desire to make all of us who hold to one God to be believers in the same God. To use that standard, I submit to you, to use that standard, we got a problem. Elijah messed up. Because Elijah turned to the prophets of Baal. He should have embraced them. They were monotheistic. They believed there was a creator. One named Baal, the sun god. Why did Elijah fight them? He should have embraced them. But perhaps we've got a problem. The final thing I want to talk to you about is this. Islam is neither truly monotheistic or it's not monolithic. That is, to which Islam will we adhere? Or will we unite? In my culture, we fight. This was hard for my wife because my wife is from the South. In the South, for some reason, all you sweet Southern belles, you don't raise your voice for nothing. In my culture, we yell immediately, woman, give me this. And 5 minutes later, after we're done yelling, I forgot why I was yelling. Not in the South. You guys hold grudges for like 30 years until there's a body found in a well, chopped up. The reason I say this is because in my culture we yell constantly, and the key irony is this. Sunni, Shiite, Sufi, Wahhabi, Alawi, Druze, all the sects of Islam declare each other gulat. Cult. They declare each other cult. Do you understand that the Sunni does not believe the Shiite will make it to paradise? The Shiite does not believe the Sufi will make it to paradise? The Sufi does not believe the Sunni will make it to paradise? In the midst of this cacophony of noise, you've got Muslims who do not agree. The Iran-Iraq war of the 1980s is the most recent of these conflicts, but it constantly goes on. How are they going to unite with each other when they fundamentally believe that they are the only true Islamic religion? As much as we may have a desire for all of us to be in a group hug, as much as we have this desire for all of us to unite against debauchery, and I absolutely think, it drives me insane that because as an immigrant, I cannot be president in the United States. Britney Spears can be president here. But I cannot. That's annoying to me that there is somebody who dresses like this and acts like this and they see this. Of course my people see this as Christianity. That's not the point. The point is, you cannot have a uniting faction of those who are fundamentally predisposed to fight against one another. In Islam, when you die, you know what happens? You are reserved for the fifth and sixth level of hellfire. Let me tell you, Islamic eschatology is my closing point. They believe Isa will return. He will land on the Mount of Olives. He will go to the minaret in Damascus, Syria. He will do three things. One, he will kill all the swine. Two, he will break all the crosses. And three, he will kill and send to hell every Jew and Christian who do not accept Allah. Do with it what you wish. As much as I would love for there to be such unity, you cannot unite with those who seek your death for the sole reason of your conversion. I turn it over to my